dominion in spirit, dominion in soul, dominion in the body, dominion in our families, dominion in our finances, dominion in our faith. Give him a shout of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to ask you to be seated for a while, and then we'll get back up again for the confession. But I want to make a very quick announcement. Unreserved, that's the way our praise should be when we come to the presence of the Lord. Unreserved. Unreserved. I was listening to a man of God, Keith Moore, some years ago, and he was sharing about the kind of people that God uses. He says they are a people who don't withhold anything. When they want to praise, they praise. When they want to pray, they pray. When they want to make their confession, they make it. Don't do anything half-heartedly. God doesn't accept half-hearted sacrifices. So you go all the way. When you want to praise God, praise him with reckless abandon. Don't care who is listening and who is bothered by your praise. Anyone that is a child of God will not be bothered by your praise, but will rather be encouraged by your praise. Do you understand what I'm saying? The psalmist said in Psalm 34, praise is a come magnify the Lord with me. Psalm 34, come magnify the Lord with me and let us praise his name together. Go to the next verse. Go to verse 2. Verse 2, Psalm 34. My soul shall make a boast in the Lord, then who will hear? Come and talk to me. Who will hear and be glad? The humble. When you praise the Lord, and there is someone that is truly humble around you, they will be glad. Your praise will not affect them negatively. It will impact them positively. Praise provokes and invokes further praise. Can I have an amen? Amen. So this year is the year of the Lord. Go all out giving him praise. Every day, praise him. Praise him from your bed in the morning. Praise him in the bathroom. Praise him on your way to school. Praise him at work. Praise him everywhere. Give him praise. Give him praise. Because this year we're walking in dominion 24/7. Can I have an amen? Amen. That amen is just too weak for me. Amen. If you don't walk in dominion, you're going to be dominated. And you don't want to be dominated. You don't want to be dominated by Satan. You don't want to be dominated by depression. When depression captures the soul of a person, that person loses the essence of life. Life loses its taste to them. You want to walk in dominion. You don't want to be dominated. You don't want sickness and disease dominating you. You want to walk in sound health. Dominion over sickness and disease. You want to walk in dominion over early death. Young people are dying left, right, center, but that is not your portion. Can I have an amen? Amen. With long life, very long, will God satisfy us. Amen? Amen. And it will show us his salvation. Praise God forevermore. Discipleship class manual. This small manual has the capacity to transform your life. This small manual has the potential to change your story for good in 2025. Make it a companion. You know, in the Stone Church, we don't do daily devotionals. This is your daily devotional. 3,000 naira only. Landing cost 2,000. Expression house price 3,000 naira in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, I don't sell stuff, but when I sell, I sell. I'm not selling now. I'm asking you to buy. Buy the truth and sell it not. So last Sunday, as I made the announcement, there are people who listen to me in this church. I was saying that I wanted some people to buy extra so that we can give some people. And they listened to me. Some of them in church, some of them outside church. They were listening online. And they made payment. May the Lord honor them in the name of Jesus. Those of you who wanted to do it but you couldn't afford it, in the mighty name of Jesus, this is the year you will be able to afford to give to the work of God. Can I have an amen? You will be able to afford to be a blessing to someone else. You will be able to pay someone's JAMB registration fees. You'll be able to sponsor them through JAMB classes. You'll be able to give them transport fare. You'll be able to pay someone's school fees. Can I get a better amen? What I've just prayed for you is New Testament scripture, 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things. Sufficiency in how many things? Come on, talk to me, church. All things may abound to every good work. May you be able to abound to every good work. Is it a good work if we go out on evangelism and we see people that are destitute on the street, people that are poor, and we know they're wearing rags, and in our backpacks, we have some nice gowns and nice t-shirts and nice pair of sneakers. And after preaching Christ to them, they didn't know what we brought. We preach Christ to them, we pray for them, and we say, well, can you try this on if it's your size? And it fits. And they wear it and it looks good on them. Is it a good work? Come on, talk to me, church. That's a good work. Those are the kind of things that God wants you to give to. You go to a neighborhood to preach Christ and you can tell that these people are famished. You can tell they're hungry. They didn't know we brought food. But having ministered Christ to them, we're able to go back to our corner and we bring our packed food or raw food stuff and some things to cook and to prepare to make everything ready. And per family, we give a pack. And we're able to do that for 5 or 10 families. Is that a good work? Do you know that is the answer to someone's prayer? These are the kind of things to do. These are the kind of things that Jesus wants us to do. These were the kind of things he did during his earthly walk. Oh no, Pastor. Jesus didn't give anybody clothes. Go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Put it on the screen for me. So they came over onto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. Yeah? And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, yeah, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, yeah. Verse 4, because that he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him, yeah. And always, somebody say always, night and day, he was in the mountains and he was in the tombs. He had no home, no address. His address was in the mountains and in the tombs. And he was crying and cutting himself with stones, yeah? But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not, yeah? And for he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Yeah, and he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, make sure you check online that the sound is still there. Don't provoke me this year. Saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. You know I love you guys. All right. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Yeah. Next verse. Now there was nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding, yeah. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them, yeah. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits, he started with singular, a man with an unclean spirit, that was the head of them. But the man had a legion. A legion in the Roman army is somewhere between 3,000 to 6,000 foot soldiers. One man housed 3,000 to 6,000 devils. One man. You call such a man one man army. Now, go to the next verse. So they ran into the herd, and the pigs ran into the river, and they choked. And they that fed the swine fled and told in the city. They told the story in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done, because they had been told good news. So they went there, and they came to Jesus. And when they came to Jesus, what did they see? They saw that this man that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, somebody say had. He doesn't have it anymore. He used to. Now he's been delivered and cleansed, having met Jesus. Because you don't meet Jesus and remain the same. I met Jesus October 1990. And I can tell you my life has not remained the same. Glory be to God. Now, when they came back to see him, one, they saw him sitting. No, that's impossible. This guy could not sit. He didn't sit. We read it earlier. It's in your Bible. I know when I explain, it comes alive. Glory be to God. It's the help of the Holy Spirit. But it's in your Bible. Excuse me. Come on now. This guy was in the mountains and in the tombs, and he was crying day and night. Does that sound like someone who is sitting down? He was restless. Restless. Jesus gave him rest. Woo! This is our year of rest. He was sitting. One. Number two, he was clothed. Who gave him the clothes? He was so naked when mad people that are mentally challenged, sometimes tear their own clothes. This guy had torn his clothes. He had no more clothes to wear. He had started tearing his own skin. That was the next thing that looked like clothes to him, and he wanted to just tear something. He was, the Bible says, cutting himself with stones. If he had clothes on, do you think those clothes were spared from the cutting? Come on, talk to me. Talk to me. He had no clothes. Who brought the clothes? Don't just read your Bible on the surface. Think as you read the Bible. Study. Meditate. Let the Holy Ghost open your eyes. They were coming from the other side of the lake. Jesus said to them in Mark chapter 4, guys, let's go to the other side, the very last verse. And there was a storm. Why was there a storm? Because Satan was trying to resist this move. Jesus was coming to the land of the Gadarenes to make an evangelist out of a madman. And Satan didn't want that to happen. He wanted to keep this guy in bondage. He needed him to be in bondage. And when Jesus was coming to the other side, he didn't come empty-handed. Guys, hey, Peter, Andrew, James, John, the rest of y'all, get some very nice designer clothes. Let's take them along, because as we're going to the other side, we're going to make an evangelist out of a young man, and he needs to wear nice clothes, because a preacher should look good every day. How beautiful are the feet of those that publish the gospel? That's what Isaiah said. So if you're a preacher, you are someone who evangelizes, you win souls, you're going to have good clothes to wear, and you're going to have good shoes to wear, and you don't have to pay for them. Jesus will pay for them. Can I have an amen? He paid for what I'm wearing this morning. He pays for what I wear every time. It doesn't feature in my prayer. Lord, I need clothes and shoes. No. Go out and preach. God will bring the clothes and shoes. I told some boys in the early days of this church, when we started, they were complaining. Some of them didn't want to minister because they wore bathroom slippers to church. They didn't have sneakers. They couldn't even afford it. It's history today. They are buying shoes for people now. One person looked at me. An old friend of mine came to town, came to see me in my office in church. And for some reason said, let's go out. I said, what for? He came with another friend. He said, something told me. I just feel like we should buy shoes. It was the least of my problems. But God knew I would need them to preach. So he took us to a boutique. And he said, begin to pick. And when people give you a blank check, you want to apply wisdom, you don't want to do too much. I saw some Louis Vuitton. I said, man, Louis Vuitton, I've been seeing you for a while. How you doing, man? I picked it. Boom. I saw some Ferragamo. I said, Ferragamo, how you doing, man? Boom. I saw Ade Gucci. I said, Ade Gucci, how you doing, man? Boom. I wanted to stop at 3. The guy said, no, you're a pastor. Pick more. I said, more? Okay. 5 pairs of shoes. When the guy made the transfer to the owner of the boutique, my heart shook. And he bought for the other guy too, who is also a pastor in his church. He said, something told me. He came to greet me. We had talked, we had greeted. I saw him off to where he parked this car in front of the satellite church. And I was meant to return to my office. And he said, no, man of God, before you go, something told me. In the same year, I was in Bible Guest House for my retreat. I was just spending time with the Lord. A young man called me. He said, Pastor, I came to church and I saw it was your birthday period. I missed it. I just want to be a blessing. Pastor, please, what's your shoe size? I said, shoes again? And they haven't stopped coming. And I haven't stopped giving also. You preach the gospel. Stop complaining. I don't have gown. I don't have bags. Get out on the streets. Preach the gospel. I am telling you that Jesus will buy you what to wear. Nobody said amen. He did it for the madman. Who gave him clothes? Who would ever give him clothes? They bound him with fetters and chains. He tore it like shreds. First miracle, he sat down. Second miracle, he was wearing clothes. Well dressed. And he was in his right mind. He gave him the mind of Christ. And all the people were afraid. They had never seen that kind of miracle before in their lives. They knew this guy. Listen to me. The Bible calls him the madman of Gadara. He was the most popular madman in the whole of Gadara. He was an MVP. Jesus went for him. Gave him what to wear. We need that guy to be preaching in about 10 cities. He can't be repeating the same clothes every time. You think Jesus brought one cloth? No. When he blesses you abundantly. When it comes through in your academics, it comes through big time. I don't serve a small God. Huge. This is the year to be unreserved in your giving, in your praising him, in your prayer life, in your worship, in your soul winning. Preach everywhere. Get up on the bus and tell somebody, hey, I just want to tell you that Jesus loves you. Praise God, amen. I just decided to show you that Jesus gave people clothes in the Bible. And did he give them food in the Bible? You learned that from Sunday school. In John chapter 5, he fed the 5,000. In some other places, he fed more than 5,000. The 5,000 were without the women and the children. So Bible scholars said he must have fed about 20,000 people in one meeting. So it is not bad when we go out to preach Christ and we go with something. But how can you go with something unless that God makes all grace abound towards you? So that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound, go back to my scripture, 2 Corinthians 9:8, may abound to every good work. This is the mentality to carry this year. I will not have any lack, not just so I can have to consume on myself, but to have something with which to preach the gospel. Can I have an amen? Nobody is permitted to lack in this church this year. Did you hear what I said? And it's not for consumption on your lust. It's for you to be a blessing. To be a blessing. So that you may abound to every good work. If you pay for someone's jam, is that a good work? Or is it a bad work? That your cousin in the village who doesn't have access to good education and is struggling, and you send money for them to register GCE, is that a good work? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And this year, you are going to do that. Amen? Can I have an amen? Amen. A change of mentality is important. So, I want to thank those people that listened to me and paid extra. Somebody paid for 7. Someone paid for 27. Someone paid for 3 to make it 30. Another person paid for 7, I think. I think 2 people paid for 7. My God will bless you guys. Can I have an amen? Amen. So this morning, I have 15 left that I want to give to the Potter's, our new members from the Potter's Planet. Protocol, can you help me take it to them? Are they up to 15? I want to bless you. So this is going to be a gift. If you have bought before, glory be to God. But if you haven't bought, please take it for free. Come on, give a hand to Jesus. Amen. Give them. Give him. Is what? What? Oh, you already have. Okay, praise God. Amen. How many do you have left? Everyone from Potter's Planet who hasn't got, please give it to them. Tofara, do you have one already? So, and Dami, do you have? You don't want? I don't understand that. So, okay. Praise God. Now, we ordered another 35 just this morning. So if you haven't bought, please make sure you buy. All right? Apart from the people that I've given, if you haven't bought, make sure you buy, and buy for 3,000 naira. Everybody needs to have it. I've spent so much time talking about that material because I know the content. I know the content. And I know that content will enrich your spiritual life. Treat it as your daily devotional this year. As you read your Bible, read that discipleship class manual. It will make a disciple out of you. So those of you who need a copy, you can get for 3,000 naira at the end of the service. You go to Sister Busola at the back, and then she's going to be able to give you. Amen. Praise God. I wish we could take our confession this morning, but our time is far spent, and I have a lot to share with you, so forgive me. I want to encourage you, take the confession daily. Take it how often? Take it how often? Daily. Daily, please. It will bless you this year. I want to go straight into the Word of God. Because right after this service, we will go to the ICC to join the adult church in prayer. As it has been announced earlier, just adding my voice, we started fasting last Friday, and it's going to be on for 15 days, and nobody's going to die. Praise God. It's a very good spiritual exercise. I'm already feeling it in my health. I'm grateful to God. Fasting helps your health. Amen. I'm going to show you from God's word, but in practicality, it helps your health. Medical science has even affirmed that. One of the cures, one of the things that can help people that have plaques in their brain, people that suffer amnesia or dementia or Alzheimer's disease, is fasting. I have a friend who is a medical doctor based in Chicago, a U.S. trained doctor in Nigeria. He told us on our platform, secondary school platform, he said, it will amaze you that one of the things that help your brain and your memory is fasting. Fasting. So if you are very young and you're already forgetting things, you know, some people can almost forget their head. Say, please, where's my head? go and start fasting. Fast for 15 days. It will help you, to help your memory. Can I have an amen? So immediately after service, we go there to pray. Now, Monday, which is tomorrow, we are not going to have our Monday afternoon prayer for now until after the fast. Those of you who come, my customers, we know ourselves. We will hope that new customers will join us this year, that they will repent and come and pray. But we'll suspend that until after the fast. But that is not to say that you can't come to church. You can come to church on your own and pray. That's fine. And when you fast, make sure you pray. If you fast and you don't pray, you are on hunger strike. What did I say? Hunger strike. So please pray. Very important. And by Friday, the 17th of this month, the fasting will be over. And then by Saturday, the following day, which is 18th, we're going to have our International Workers' Congress in the Youth Church, the Expression House. So all of us are coming here in the morning. I'll give you further details as the day approaches. But they're coming from other branches too to join us. We'll pray. Capacity building is what we're looking at, like I announced last year. And then I'm trusting God that we will have money to be able to provide food for every participant. And I'm looking at maybe about 300, 250, 300, and everybody will have a pack of rice and chicken in Jesus' name. Can I have an amen? So start preparing your heart for the meeting and let God also use you. You know, I already prayed for you that you will have grace to abound to every good work. Is this a good work? Amen. So, Pastor, preach. Let me go to my lapel. Praise God. This is the first message for the year 2025. And this is setting the year in proper perspective. I hope everybody sits down to listen to this. These are instructions from the Holy Spirit, and it will bless you. I have for a title, because this is the year of Dominion 3.0. It was Dominion last year. This year is Dominion 3.0. Faith, family, finance, spirit, soul, body. Dominion all around. Dominion originates from Jesus. That's my title. And I'm going to preach that today and next week. And it's our communion Sunday today. Glory be to God. We'll take the communion to seal up the rest of the month and the rest of the year. Isaiah chapter 2, as the Holy Spirit gave to our Father in the Lord, Pastor Alex Adegbe. So we follow him as he follows Christ. Isaiah chapter 2, and I'm going to be in verses 1 to 5. If you are there, say amen. If you are not yet there, say wait up. Okay. If you are not yet there, you can look on the screen. Isaiah is in the Old Testament. Don't look for it in the New. Isaiah chapter 2, and I want us to read together from the Word of God. 1, 2, go. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it, and many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Verse 5, and this is where I'm going to stop. And this is an instruction for the expression house. O house of Jacob, O expression house, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let's read that together. O expression house, Come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. This same prophecy that Isaiah gave, Micah, the prophet Micah, like in the Bible you have major prophets and minor prophets. Micah was one of the people categorized as minor prophet, but he gave the same word. So let's quickly go to Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4, and you can help us on the screen very quickly. Micah chapter 4, and in verse, we're going to read just verses 1 to 3, 1 to 4, and then we'll go to verse, we're going to jump to verse 8. Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Micah chapter 4, yeah. But in the last days, it shall come to pass. Notice he said in the last days. And he's talking about these days in which we live. It shall come to pass. What shall come to pass? That the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains. So there are other mountains, but the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established above all of them. And it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow into it. People are going to flow into our churches, amen? And many nations shall come and say, like they are listening to us in Singapore right now, and in Germany right now, and in America right now, many nations shall come and let us, and they will say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. Why? Because he will teach us of his ways. There will be a lot of teaching of God's word in this house from this pulpit this year. A lot of teaching will be going forth, and you will be well instructed in the name of Jesus. He will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For the law shall go forth of Zion. We are Zion. The church is Zion. The law will go from here. We will be the one to dictate what happens. It is not the world that will dictate to us what is going to happen in our lives this year. Can I have an amen? If they like, they can come up with a new disease, a new sickness, a new strain of COVID-19. But it is not coming to us. What will be flowing from us is the decree of the Lord, and that by his stripes we were healed. And because we were, we are. And we walk in divine health. Can I have an amen? This is the year to walk in favor all round in the name of Jesus. And the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the people, among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their sword into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But they shall sit every man under the vine. They will sit down and under his fig tree. And none shall make them afraid. Nothing will make you afraid this year. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. I say nothing will make you afraid this year. All mental agitations are silenced forever in your life in the name of Jesus. Everything that can cause you anxiety is silenced forever in the name of Jesus. Listen to me. This year you will enjoy the peace of God. Nobody's going to have insomnia in this church this year. For no reason will you have a sleepless night. Unless you choose to pray. Go to verse 8. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, the local church, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. Somebody say dominion. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Glory be to God. All of these Old Testament scriptures, the law and the prophets, were a type and shadow of what was to come in the new. They spoke about Jesus. So when you are reading Isaiah,
from the New Testament perspective, you must be seeing Jesus there. And that's why our prayer in the New Testament church should be different from the kind of prayer they prayed under the old covenant. While they were saying, give me, give me, give me, you were saying, Lord, I'm grateful and I'm thankful because you have given me. Can I have an amen? Oh, Lord, heal me, heal me. That was what they prayed under the old covenant. Isaiah looked into the future and prophesied in Isaiah 53 and verse 5. And with his stripes, we are healed. The last part of it. And with his stripes, we are. He was speaking into the future. But in the new covenant, Jesus already came, went to the cross, died, shed his blood, and then resurrected and went to heaven, sitting on the right hand of the Father. Listen up. When Peter was going to refer to what Isaiah said, Peter put it in the past. Because Isaiah was looking at the cross ahead of him. But Peter was coming from the cross. The cross is already behind the New Testament church. Jesus has gone to the cross. He's not going back there. So Peter captured it this way in 1 Peter 2:24. Peter said, who bare in his own body our sins on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Were, the past form of are. You were. We were healed. Peter didn't say we are. He said we were. And if we were, we are. Amen. When were we healed? As Jesus hung on the cross. What day was that? Over 2,000 years ago. Each of the 39 stripes on his back represented a sickness and disease and infirmity. They put the crown of thorns and forced it down his head, and blood broke out from his head. That took care of all mental health issues. Depression, panic attack, anxiety disorder, insomnia, whatever, near. We are a blessed people in Christ. We are not going to be blessed. We were blessed. And because we were blessed, we are blessed. Our status has not changed. It is who we are. It is who we are. Did you get what I said? Somebody asked you in school, why are you getting all the favor? It is only you the HOD likes to talk to. Tell them, listen, it's not a matter of pride. It's who I am. How do you mean it's who you are? I'm blessed and highly favored. People are still trying to be blessed. They are struggling to please God to be blessed. They are struggling to impress God to be blessed. They are struggling to earn God's favor. No! In Christ, we already are blessed and highly favored. Can I have an amen? Amen. There must be a new thinking, a new way of thinking. Right thinking will produce the right prayers, the right words, the right confessions, the right actions, and you have the right result. Wrong thinking will produce wrong words, wrong prayers, wrong results, wrong actions. An American preacher asked the Jewish man, how come you're so successful? The Jewish man responded, I don't know what you're saying. How come you're so wealthy? You are really blessed. The Jewish man said, I still don't get your question. I hope nobody's sleeping on me right now. I want every head up. I don't want any head bowed. The American preacher asked him the third time. He said, sir, you are the owner of that company? He said, yes. You are the owner of that company? He said, yes. You are the owner of that company? He said, yes. So I'm saying, and you have all this property. The Jewish man said, yes. He said, I'm saying, how come you own all of that? The man looked puzzled. The Jewish man looked puzzled and responded to him, I'm Jew. Meaning, it's who I am. It's normal for a Jewish man to be prosperous. Is it not normal for a Chinese man to speak Chinese? Somebody from China? Is it not normal for a German person to speak German? It's who you are. You are a Yoruba boy and then you speak Yoruba and they are clapping for you. What's wrong with you? It's normal. It's who you are. Because to the Jewish man, in his mind, you cannot separate being Jew from being successful. They go together. God gave that promise to Abraham. Genesis 12, 2 and 3. And in you, you'll be so blessed, in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And the Jews are a direct descendant of Abraham. But not only the Jews. Because according to Galatians 3 and verse 29, in fact, 3:9 says, those who are of faith have been blessed with faithful Abraham. So are you of faith? Do you have faith in Christ? You see, you have lined up into that lineage. And in verse 29, it says, and if you are Christ, listen to me, everybody. If you are Christ's, meaning if you belong to Jesus Christ, automatically you are Abraham's seed. Is that in your Bible? Did they put it on the screen? 3:29, Galatians 3:29. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. That was the title of homologio many, many years ago. I got that revelation. It changed my thinking. I am blessed everywhere I am. Any country, I'm blessed. I'm favored. I can never be stranded. Some say, oh, that's pride. That's prideful. That's your problem. Your cup of coffee. For me, I'm going to enjoy that favor every day. What about you? You go to a strange land where you know nobody and somebody, young man, come here. You need some help? Get it. Without asking. Without asking. Whereas other people are treated as criminals. Yeah, what are you doing at the airport? Nobody has come to pick you up. We might have to question you. Please come with me. The moment immigration officers take you to one office, wahala day. That's when they will query what they're not supposed to query, including take your mobile phone and check your conversations, because you just might be a drug peddler. There at the airport, and a man walked up to me and said, excuse me, sir, do you need help? I didn't ask for it. He came to me. Do you need help? Help came looking for me. See, it's who you are. Carry this mentality. If you're in Christ, expect favor every day. Expect it. That's why if anybody is not in Christ, that's the most stupid thing to do in the world. The wisest thing to do is to get into Christ. Quick. Real quick. Become born again real quick. Jesus doesn't take away from you. He adds to you. I'm blessed. I'm born again. It's the greatest thing that has happened in my life. To know Jesus. It doesn't make me less of my mates. Swegbe, see, it was back in the day, the SU didn't dress well. Now, we will even beat you at the dressing. Amen. Amen. And they say, you are missing something, you are not drinking alcohol. Oh, hi, we are our boys. No, I will not be so cheap to drink what will make me fall into the gutter. I'm not a gutter man. I'm for the throne. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is not for kings. Some things are not meant for kings. Have you seen a monarch in a gutter before? Can you see a peleo? Help him take the crown. My goodness. Have you ever seen that before? It's sacrilegious. It's sacrilegious. We are children of the Most High God. We will never taste alcohol. It's not for us. It's not because if we drink it, we go to hell. No, but it's not for us. We don't lose our discretion. We don't come down from royalty. Are you getting what I'm saying, church? There must be a different way of thinking. The mother of Lemuel, King Lemuel, wrote to him
in Proverbs 31. It is not for kings, O Lemuel.
What?
Son of my womb, son of my vows, it is not for kings. That which you would drink and you start seeing strange women. That which you drink and you lose your discernment and your sense of sound judgment is not for kings. Some things are not for kings. Do you find a king in a buka? Just eating anyhow. A monarch. I've been at events with monarchs. When they want to eat, you don't see them. They take them to a different room. There must be a VIP room. That's where they will serve them. The caterer will serve them. Different kind of dishes and utensils and cutlery. Different, clean, gold. That's who we are. Amen. We may be wearing bathroom slippers now, but that's not what we wear forever. Amen. First class is for kings. The best in your field is for kings. Glory be to God. Somebody needed to hear that this morning. Hallelujah. One of the things that God has done for me in my life as a Christian is He has changed the way I think. And I'm grateful because He's still changing it. He's still doing some renovations in my head. He's still tearing down some strongholds and some skyscrapers that have been constructed by fear, by doubts, by worries, by even self-doubt. You can do that thing. Who am I to do it? No, let the people that are more qualified do it. No, let those who can speak English do it. Go there and speak your English. Can I have an amen? We are complete in Christ. In Him. Not in our parents. Not in our education. Not in what we have or don't have, but in Christ we are complete. All the Psalms, the prophets, and the law, they spoke about Jesus. Haggai called them the desire of nations. There is an answer in Zion. Amen. There is a balm in Gilead. There is an all-round dominion covering every aspect of life, reserved in Christ Jesus for everyone who dares to believe. Jesus is the answer to every puzzle in the human mind. Jesus is the desire of the nations. The nations of the world are looking for Him, but they don't know He's the one they are looking for. Some of them have acquired atomic weapons that can turn the world into oblivion in a matter of seconds. Yet, they are not satisfied. They keep acquiring and acquiring. Talk about those nations in the Middle East. Weapons. When are you going to use them? They are looking for Jesus, but they think they are looking for political power. They think they are looking for military power. But Jesus is the one they lack. He's the vacuum that nobody can fill but Himself in the heart and in the soul of every man. Excuse me. Many, many nations have amassed wealth. So much wealth. Some countries are so rich. They have resources stored up for generations yet unborn. Still, they cannot explain why they are not satisfied. They are still hungry. They have so much. But there's something they lack. Some pop stars, pop singers, hip-hop artists around the world, having reached the pinnacle of their career, having reached a position of fame, they go ahead and commit suicide. Why? Because they didn't have Jesus. Fame is what many young upcoming artists are looking for. But when you now become famous, you discover that you have nothing. It's still vanity. Because fame is not what you are looking for. Jesus is what you are looking for. And until you find Him, you will never be satisfied. Fame cannot fill the vacuum in your heart. Sex cannot feel it. Some people think, if I have enough sex, enough every day, I will be fine. You will have more than enough. What will happen is vexation of your spirit and weariness of your flesh. Your body will reject it someday. You will lose control of your body. You say, once upon a time, me that I was a lion. Now lion cannot tackle you anymore. You can't even perform.
Jesus is what you need. Some think it is drugs. If I take enough drugs, I'll be high. Hey, he's the most high without drugs. And that's who you need. The El Elyon, the most high. You can take drugs and take drugs sote until you have a nervous wreck, nervous breakdown. Because drugs do not equate Jesus. Jesus is the one that people are looking for. He's the desire of the nations. Some people think when they have political power, that's why they kill to become a senator. A senator or senator. Sin-nator. They sin. And when they become senator or legislative, they thief. Steal the country blind. One man stole 80 billion. Are you mad? One stole 110 billion. EFCC caught him. When it was time to appear in court, he came in crutches, usual style. They don't even have a new storyline. The same script. 110 billion. The day they released him, his kinsmen were rejoicing with him that they released big thief. Big thief. Nigeria has big, big thieves. That was why when that lady Kemi Badenoch in the UK spoke about Nigeria, I didn't fight her. She knew what she was talking about. She's not patriotic. She's not this. She's not that. Your patriotism is when you are close to power and something is dropping into your pocket. Where you walk, that's where you chop. And when you are eating, you keep quiet. Corruption has eaten deep into the fiber of our country, such that even young politicians, young boys who are aspiring to go to power, what are they looking for? Money! National cake! Let me cut my own, let me eat my own out of it. Nobody's thinking about the nation. Nobody's thinking sanity. There are countries of the world like Japan where they don't serve God. They don't believe Jesus. They are looking for him, but they don't know he's the one they are looking for. And in those countries, if you steal, they kill you. In fact, some of them, the political office holders, don't wait because they steal too. But they don't wait for the people to kill them. They go and kill themselves. Have you ever seen a Nigerian politician steal money and commit suicide? He would rather die in office. Corruption! Corruption has eaten deep. To get an ordinary ID card in Nigeria is a job. If you lose an ID card and you want to get a new one, go and try it in your school. It's so tough. Thank God for what is happening right now with our immigration, that Nigerian passport is becoming a lot easier to process. To process a passport. Now, I'm not saying that it has happened yet, but it's still on the way, at least. The process is in motion. We pray that the process will see the light of day. In America, when you process your American passport, they post it to you when it is ready. You go out of your door, you pick it up in your mailbox, your U.S. passport. In the U.K., you go to the post office to fill the form to process a British passport. In Nigeria, ordinary NIN. They made a mistake on your name. They will tell you have to travel to Abuja. You cannot travel to Abuja. Money has to enter somewhere because somebody has to run it for you. But there is a generation rising. A generation that will not compromise. A generation that will carry Jesus to the workplace. A generation that would say, this must be done, and it must be done right, and right now in the name of Jesus. Can I have an amen? A people that will do things differently. How much money will we carry with us when we die? Some of them, when they steal, sote, they go abroad to die. And they ship them back home in a box. They ship them in a box. And I wish others would learn, but lie, they don't learn. What is that? Is that they have been cursed with a curse. The moment they're in power, they do. It's just wealth. How many rooms can you sleep in one night? In one room, on how many beds can you sleep in the night? You know you are not sleeping if you are changing beds in the night. 1 hour here, you get up. 1 hour here. Just know that
you are just working in the factory. You are not sleeping. Because if you sleep, even if it's like this, you should do at least 6 hours. Am I right? Jesus is the desire of the nations. Without him, our lives are a complete mess. Without him, your education is nonsense. There are professors who are a complete mess because they don't know Jesus. They keep looking for him. In every religion, Jesus is the one they are looking for, but they don't know. But blessed are your ears because you hear these things today. Blessed are your eyes because you see these things. Jesus is the answer to the puzzle on every human mind. Are you with me, church? Look at Haggai. Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 to 9. I will only go as far as time will permit me. This is the new year. I won't go beyond my time. Glory be to God. Amen. Haggai 2, 6 to 9. Let's read together from the word of God. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while. Please read. And I will shake the heavens, God said, and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land, and I will shake all nations. God said it will shake all nations. And I can tell you, there's a shaking going on right now. The challenges around the world are not just a Nigerian problem. The challenges are around the world. God said, when I shake all the nations, then what will happen? And the desire of all nations shall come. That's Jesus. They will look for him. That's why Isaiah said that in the last days, our main text, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established above the mountains. Because people will suddenly realize that they need God. In some nations now, they are suddenly realizing that they need God. Revival is breaking out in some places. In Nigeria, some followers of a particular God that I don't want to mention, a particular religious cult in Nigeria, just recently, they just began to revolt in their sanctuary, in their synagogue. They started revolting. So he's a man we have been worshiping. He's a man we have been worshiping. And they started tearing down his pictures. Somewhere in Calabar, in Nigeria. Because the desire of nations will come. Go back to that verse. The previous verse. The desire of the nations shall come. No. And I will fill this house with glory. Oh, two people said amen, Lord. Amen. God is now speaking to us. He's going to fill the expression house with glory. Amen. When we say expression house, not talking about the building, it's talking about you. And it's talking about online viewers and online listeners all over the world. God is going to fill your life with glory. Amen. Glory is the antidote to shame. So there is no room for shame in your life. It will fill your academics, your career, your profession, your business, your finance, your health, your relationship with glory. Amen. Say better, amen. Amen. Sayeth the Lord of hosts. Next verse. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give shalom. Shalom means nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. You have peace with God. You have peace within yourself. You have peace with other people. You have peace of mind. You have prosperity. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
In this place, the Lord said. Let me move on now. Jesus is the desire of the nations. Is the only one who truly satisfies, nothing else will. Political power won't satisfy you. Spiritual power, as good as it is, will not satisfy you. That's why you need to be careful, you young ministers. You do a meeting and God moves, people fall down. That's not the end, though. Beyond what you do for God, God wants you. Not just what you do for him, he wants you, he wants your attention. Daily, daily, presenting yourself daily before him so he can minister to you. No wonder Jesus prayed every day, prayed like no man's business, and he prayed for hours. He ministered all day, he prayed all night. You must refill. You must get fresh instructions.
Don't travel on old anointing. He did it 2 weeks ago in Osu. As I preached like this, people just fell. Hey, don't depend on that. Get a fresh dose from him every day. Appear before his presence every morning and say, sir, yes, sir. Whatever time you set, whether it's 4 a.m., whether it's 5 a.m., whether it's 3 a.m., whether it's 6 a.m., whether it's 7 a.m., whether it's 3 p.m., but I would suggest a.m. In addition to a.m., p.m., but a.m. first. It was John Bunyan that said a man that doesn't have time for God early in the morning will scarcely find him during the day. Glory be to God. Political power will not satisfy you. Spiritual power won't satisfy you. It can't replace Jesus. Drugs won't. Accolades of men will not. Accomplishments of this world will not. Only Jesus can fill the void in every man's heart. Only Jesus. Let me move on quickly. I want to share an important thought. An important thought. A very important thought. And if you're writing, write this down. What do I want you to do in 2025? I want you to prioritize. Prioritize. From the word priority. Prioritize his presence in 2025. Excuse me. What did I say you should prioritize? His presence in 2025. His presence is more than heaven to me. Our text in Isaiah chapter 2 verse 2 says, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established. Don't worry, I'm fine, guys. Shall be established on top of the mountains. There are other mountains contending for your attention. But the one you should go to is the mountain of the Lord's house. It is the one that will stand as chief above all. His presence. His presence every day. Not just every Sunday in church. We only have 3 hours, 3.5 hours together. Some of you, most of you don't come midweek. So we only see once a week. That is not enough. Do you feed once a week? 7 days, they say, make 1 week. 7 prayerless, 7 wordless days make 1 spiritually week. Isaiah 2:2 says, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be on top of the mountains. Literally, Isaiah saw into the future that there would be other mountains, but the mountain of the Lord's house shall be on top of them all. It shall be the chief above them all. The name of Jesus is above every other name. Everything you need, your peace, your joy, your strength, your mental health, your safety, your creativity, your protection, your advancement is in that name. Philippians 2:9 says, wherefore God also has highly exalted him. Not small, highly. God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Above every, like the mountain of the Lord's house, above every other mountain. The name of Jesus is above every other name. It's above Buddha. It's above Satan. It's above every other name. The name of Jesus. In verse 10 of that Philippians chapter 2, Philippians 2, verse 9 says, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name, which is above every name. Verse 10 says that at the name of Jesus, what should happen? Every knee should bow. The knees of cancer bow. They bow before Jesus. Amen. Diabetes mellitus. Diabetes insipidus, glaucoma, hypermetropia, myopia, eye conditions, eye defect, their knees bow. They bow before Jesus. Oh, that's why I love the song Gloria Fetuk at the medley this morning. Those of you who come late to church, you miss a lot. I can't tell you what you miss, but you miss a lot. The medley this morning was powerful. One of the lines in that song says, and this gospel of old must not bow, shall not bow, and shall not kneel. The gospel will not kneel before any religion in the world. The gospel that we preach, the gospel of Jesus Christ, will not bow before any financial situation. Financial situations bow before Jesus. Every financial embarrassment in your life bows now in the name of Jesus. They bow. Jesus doesn't bow before them. What? One of the greatest desires of Satan was to make Jesus bow. Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4. And they took him to a pinnacle. And in one moment of time, he showed them the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. And he said to him, if you will bow before me, I will give you these nations and all their glory. If you will bow and worship me. If you will bow and worship me. Jesus said, Otiwa kashe jubobai. That was the last of the temptations. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou must worship God and only him. Only him must you worship. Get thee behind me. Get out. I've been listening to you. Listen to you. You're talking nonsense. First time you say I should turn stone to bread. Second time I should jump down. Because he will give his angel charge over me now to bow and worship you. Satan craves our worship. Are you getting what I'm saying? He's mad as we worship Jesus. But he will be mad forever because we worship Jesus forever. Amen? Even in your difficult times, worship Jesus. Do you know what difficult times do? Satan wants you to worship the situation. That's rhema for somebody this morning. So when you go about, you tell everybody, you know what I'm going through now? In fact, you know what is happening in my life now? In fact, I can't even explain it. Baby, you're already worshiping the situation. You keep talking about it. Talk about Jesus. Amen? Smile in the face of the pain. Let Satan go gaga. Let him go crazy. I mean, you should be crying and sulking right now. Like, you shouldn't be talking to anybody right now. You need your space right now, baby. You need to cry. You need to cry. You need to let it out. Let it out. Let it out, baby. In America now, some people enter what they call a rage room. When they are mad, they go into a rage room and they rage. Ah! They tear something down and they yell. Ah! You see, what they call letting it out is actually letting it in. They are exposing themselves to strange spirits. The Bible didn't say you should do that. The Bible said worship Jesus. With all of my pain, I'm going to fall down and worship. With all of my disappointment, I'm going to fall down and worship. With all of my stress, I'm going to fall down and worship. They're gossiping about me, I'm going to fall down and worship. They're rolling their eyes at me, I'm going to fall down and worship. They're criticizing me, I'm going to fall down and worship. Oh! And Jesus comes through for you. And when the ways of a man please the Lord, it will make even his enemies to be at peace with him. Your enemies, all of a sudden, will start checking up on you. Hello, baby. I just wanted to say, are you okay? Are you fine? Yes, I am. I'm blessed and highly favored. Oh, glory to God. You and this, you're blessed and highly favored, Sha. Oh, yes. It's who I am. Amen. I can't help it. It's who I am. Amen. When they call you, they expect you to cry. And say, I don't know. No, baby. Stop that. Wipe your tears. Weep not. Revelation 5:5. Weep not. One of the elders said unto me. Revelation 5:5. One of the elders said unto me. Weep not. For the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to lose the seven seals thereof. Lions don't weep. You are a lion. Can I have an amen? You don't catch a lion weeping. Oh. They have dominion every time. Prioritize his presence. Don't make daily prayer turn to weekly prayer, Sunday prayer. Don't make daily worship turn to weekly worship, Sunday worship. Whether your voice is like that of an angel or like that of a frog, you have a voice. Worship the Lord. Worship in your music. Worship in your lifestyle. Live a lifestyle of worship. Let people not be able to tell. Even when something is wrong. Don't wear it on your head. Don't worship it. Don't worship it. But, oh boy, so this, you mean this is what you've been going through? You should be worried. Worried about what? I've given all my worries to him. I've cast all my cares upon him, and he sustains me. If he's not complaining, why should I be complaining? The reason I'm complaining is because I still have it. If I don't have it anymore, why will I be complaining? Did you get what I just said now? Give your worries to Jesus. If you're still worried, it means you still carry your worry. Say, let me get my worry. No, I've given them to Jesus. Come on, Larry, get up here. Come, quick, real quick. Now stay there. I've given him my worries. Do I have it anymore? No, I don't. Whatever he likes to do with the worry, go with the worry. What? I don't have it anymore. You don't put worry on my lectern, man. You know what I have now? I have worship. I have worship left. I don't have worries anymore. You cannot worry and worship at the same time. They are two immiscible liquids. Prioritize his presence. Prioritize getting into his presence every day and living there. Thank you, King Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things. And actually, in the KJV, it says of things. And you see the word things, as I'm teaching and preaching also, is in italics. In italics means that the translators just put the words there to let it make sense. Those words were not originally there. So when it says of things in heaven, Philippians 2 and verse 10, of things in heaven, some translators put it as of beings in heaven, on earth, and beneath the earth. Now, if we remove things, we can simply read it like this, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, in earth, and under the earth. Knee of what? Anything and anybody. Glory be to God. So you should never be afraid of any human being that is walking on this brown earth created by your Father, on God's green earth, breathing your Father's oxygen. When people threaten my life, I laugh. You want to take my life? It's impossible. You are breathing my Father's oxygen. You are walking on my Father's green earth. All I need to do is report it to my Father. Father, take away his oxygen. Period. You are gone. You threaten me? How possible is that? I mean, like someone is driving your Father's car and is not threatening you. You're driving my Father's car. Dad, get the keys from him. What did he do? He did so. He wanted to hit me with the car. What? My son? Oh yeah, okay. Bring the key. He will be trekking around. You're walking on my Father's green earth. My Father made this green earth. Do you know who I am? I'm a son of God. I'm a child of the Most High God. Think like that. Are you getting what I'm saying? Nobody should threaten your life. If you don't sleep with me, you will not graduate in this school. Sir, you will lose your job and I will graduate. Two things will happen. You will lose it and I will graduate. Are you threatening me? Take my word for it, sir. Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am, sir? A child of the Most High God. The one whose oxygen you are breathing. If I report you to my Father, sir, that will be the last time you will breathe. Eh? Mabi, no. Go. You graduate. You will. We are too intimidated. No. Omo baba. Eh? Le mishe. Eh? Ni pa igbagbo. Eh? Ni no Jesu. Eh? Shebi baba mi. Lo ni le o. That's how we walk. Yeah. No. Are you with me, church? Of beings in heaven and earth and beneath the earth, and every tongue should confess. What should they confess? That Yeshua HaMashiach is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Amen. The Father is not jealous. Every time you glorify Jesus, like what we're doing in this service, the Father is glorified. The Father is pleased. Amen. I said the Father is pleased. Amen. Glory to God. I wrap up by telling you, it will be wise to prioritize private time with King Jesus this year. Private time. Private time. Did you hear what I said? Private time. There was an account in Luke chapter 10 from verse 38 to 42. Can we go there quickly? Jesus came. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. All right? But Martha was cumbered. Sounds like cucumber. Was cumbered. Was engrossed. Engaged. Distracted. With much serving. She was making pounded yam and ephorero. Oh, I don't know how to say that in English. Vegetable that is turned, ephorero. And she was making pizza and ice cream and shawarma and making barbecue for Jesus. Right? And she came to him and said, Lord, 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 don't you care that my sister has left me alone in the kitchen to serve? That's not nice. Tell her. Why can't you tell her yourself? Master, tell her. Bid her, therefore, that she should help me. Oh, don't you know how to entertain a visitor? King Jesus is here. And you would think that normally Jesus is, okay, so Mary, why don't you join your sister in the kitchen? After all, the food was for the master. We do a lot for the master. But the master wants us. I will not enjoy my stay in your house if I come. I will appreciate your hospitality. But if I can't get your attention, out of my 1 hour with you, I get only 5 minutes to talk to you. And maybe that's while I'm eating. How now? So how's everything? You know that that is not going to be a time to talk serious matters. Serious issues. How about that your hormonal imbalance? Can we be talking about that while I'm eating? How about that disease that the doctors diagnosed? And your family members are there. That's not time for serious talk. The kind of talk we do, if we talk at all, if we lack table manners, table etiquette, dining etiquette, will be informal talk. Ah, shooting stars. Oh, God, we have them. They're just like Arsenal. Manchester United. Hey! Those are the kind of things you talk about when you're eating. You shouldn't talk when you're eating. Am I right about that? But if you're going to talk when you're eating, it's not something serious. A serious matter can take away your appetite. You know that? Jesus answered. What did he say? To Sister Martha. Said unto her, Martha, 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 Martha. Martha, Martha. You are careful and troubled about many things. Pounded yam, ephorero, vegetable, mixed grill, cocoyam, pizza, shawarma. You are troubled about many things. Today we are troubled about many things. Fear, economy, dollar, naira, job, hunger, school fees. You are troubled about many things. But Jesus said, hey, go to the next verse. But one thing is needful. One thing is needful. And Mary, you don't need many things. You need only one thing. One. Somebody say one thing. Mary has chosen that good part. What is the good part? The part of listening to God's word. She has chosen that part. It's a good part because the word of God is good for you and it will give you a good life which shall not be taken away from her. Give that to me in YLT. I hope you have it. Young's Literal Translation. Do you have it? Can I see your wave? Do you have it? YLT. Okay, good. Thank you. But one thing there is need. But of one thing, Jesus said, there is need. I like the YLT because it was written by Young, the man that put the Young's Concordance together. Was the one that put this together as well. It's like a direct translation from the Greek. New Testament was written in Greek. Old Testament was written in Hebrew. So it's like a direct translation. It said, but of one thing there is need. But of one thing there is need. Of one thing there is need. And Mary, the good part, did choose. That shall not be taken away from her. Give it to me in Amplified Classic. Same verse. Amplified Classic. I have 7 minutes to go. Glory to God. There is need of only one. One. But a few things. They decided to think about that. One thing Jesus said. Mary has chosen the good portion. That which is to her advantage. I like that. Which shall not be taken away from her. What is that? Mary has chosen to sit at the foot of the master. I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, surrounded by your glory, in your presence. That's where I always want to be. Sometimes you just sit there, you don't even know what to say. Like that song that we took during praise worship says, I'm so. The opening line. All my words fall short. There are times you enter the presence of the Lord early in the morning. I've been there and you don't even know what to say. You just fall on your knees and you're just worshiping. And when I'm saying worshiping, you're not even singing. You're just crying. Not out of bitterness. Your heart is overwhelmed with the love of God. And you're wondering, God, why do you love me so much? You would even come into my room. This room is dirty. It's not so clean. Are you with me, church? Please, I beg of you, prioritize his presence. Mary has chosen the good part. You're trying to cook for me, I know. But it's better to hear what I have cooked for you. I brought something for you. You're trying to give me something, but I lack nothing. I brought something that would transform your life. Mary has chosen that part. Mary was smart. The psalmist caught this revelation in Psalm 27 and verse 6 when he said, one thing have I desired, and that one thing will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Imagine Mary looking at Jesus, looking at him. Oh, how handsome he is. And listening to his gracious words. Gracious words. And as Jesus was speaking to Mary, and Mary was catching revelation. She wasn't just catching revelation. She was catching life. Because the words of Jesus carry life. They breathe life into you. He said in John 6 and verse 63. John chapter 6 and verse 63. He said, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you
What do they carry? Their spirit
and their life. If you are dying, all you need to do is to hear from Jesus, you will live again. His words breathe life into you. Glory be to God. I can't believe I still have like 2 more minutes. I'm grateful, Lord. In Psalm 26 and verse 8, this is where I stop. He said, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where your honor dwells. I saw this scripture as a young man, excuse me, many years ago, when going to nightclub was, I was becoming aware of it in my teenage years. And I stumbled on this scripture. Nobody preached it to me. As a young guy in secondary school, I love to read my Bible, Genesis to Revelation, every year. I just love to read. And any scripture that ministered to me, I would write it out. I wasn't a preacher. I wasn't planning to be a preacher. I didn't want to be a preacher. I am not living my dream today. I'm fulfilling his purpose. But I'm grateful that his purpose is greater than my dreams. Amen. And in fulfilling his purpose, my dreams have been fulfilled. Amen. I saw this scripture. And the place where your honor dwells. And the question came to me, does the honor of God dwell in a nightclub? No, the honor of God does not dwell in a nightclub. With all the things they do there, strippers stripping, those who are giving lap dance are giving lap dance, and the men are laughing sheepishly, and they are mocking God. They mock Christianity. Sometimes they get a musician to come and sing live band, and they will tell him, sing Christian songs. Ogui, Oluwa, ah, ye ogui. With one hand, they're holding alcohol. The other hand, cigarette. Mashi, Jeko Baru, Olo, ah, Ijinle, Ninu, Ijinle, ah, Osewo. In the nightclubs. Some of you probably know what I'm talking about. They sing some of those songs. That's why those songs don't go too far. Once in a while, maybe when we're having our Thanksgiving, yeah, we can allow some of them, but that shouldn't be your main call. There are certain songs they cannot sing there. There I throw my hands. No, they can't sing that there. I just want to be where you know. Draw me close to you. No, go flow. If the stars are made to worship, so will I. Go flow with alcohol. So will I. If they try, they will repent immediately. So will I. Ah, I can't drink this again. God, forgive me. But some songs flow. Kuru pi mo se wa agba be omo omo aye o se go kuru bi mo se se kuru ma play piano sing here now kuru bi mo se soro o santo ju ah come and see the side chicks. I did one event for a professional club. And we're there till late in the night. And those men brought side chicks. When the songs were going on like this, especially that Korobi motion, she, ah, those girls brought out their iPhone, mad phones, brought it out. They did selfie. When I was saying, oh, Santo, to me, Lodu. You came with the married man. Now, listen, who told you that Korobo Shenshe, that is not thinking about how you are misbehaving? He's thinking about it. He's only giving you time to repent. Mercy. His mercy, because it endures forever. He's hoping that someday you will feel after him. He's hoping that someday like this, you will come to church and you will say, Jesus, I surrender. You can't sin your way into heaven. Young ladies dating married men, repent today. God will never accept it. No matter the money they give you, don't even bring the tithe to church because God will not accept it. God cannot be bribed. He doesn't need money. God doesn't need money. He doesn't need money. He doesn't need anything. He's all sufficient. He's an all sufficient God. We need him for everything. Stand on your feet, everybody. Next week, I will show you how. How do I prioritize his presence? How? How? I want to teach next week. I want to teach you how to prioritize his presence. Listen to me, young people. God is doing something nowadays. I wish you could feel my pulse this morning. God is doing something nowadays. We need to get in. We need to get involved. Stop being aloof. Stop staying outside. Come in. God told me, 2025, move in. Move on. Move up. And I shared that with you last Sunday. Move in. Move on with Jesus and move up in him. For he will show you things to come. He will show you higher things. He will show you things about your life. Things about your family. Things about your academics. Things about your relationship. You think you know people. You don't know anybody. But Jesus will show you. He will. He will ensure that you don't make mistakes because he's faithful. He's too faithful to fail. And this year, when issues come, people may forsake you. Anybody may walk out on you, but there's a brother, there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. His name is Jesus. He will walk you through it, and he will bring you out of it, and he will give you victory in the name of Jesus. All eyes closed. Before we take the communion, I want to pray with someone this morning. Are you here this morning? You've heard the word of God, and you feel, being the first Sunday of the year, you need to dedicate your life to Jesus this year. Please, don't waste time. Step forward. Come and pray with me. I want to pray with you. You want to dedicate your life to Jesus this year. All of the past years, whatever you've done, he has had mercy on you. That's why you are here this morning. Leave your seat. Come forward and let us pray together. Yes, very quickly. Very quickly. Very quickly. He will leave the 99 this morning and come for you. Only you. Only you. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, perfect love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. You want to dedicate your heart to Jesus? Or you want to rededicate? Come forward, come forward, come forward quickly.